This morning is our last session. We're rounding up spiritual gifts, and I'm going to recap with you just so that you know all that we've said, because this morning we do have very practical spiritual gift assessment form and locator for each one of you to be able to work through, because at the end of the day, our vision statement's on the wall: love God, love others, find your fit, and flourish in your flow. So this whole series that we've been doing on spiritual gifts is to help you find your fit. It's been to stir you up to understand that you are gifted as an act, a deliberate act of God. God gifted each one of us in here on purpose. He didn't have a bag of gifts left over, and he thought, oh, I wonder who shall I give that to? Oh, I'll sprinkle it willy-nilly over Lee Valley Church. No, when you became born again, he deposited in you the spiritual gifts that he knew that you would need to use in the place where he would place you in order that the body would flourish. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to recap for you. I'm going to say some stuff over the last months that you will have heard, and it's not by any means exhaustive. Go back over the preachers if that's what you want, a real exhaustive list. But I'm just going to chuck a few things out so that you can hear some of the things that have been said. I talked about when I preached about how there were different kinds of gifts, and that was from two Greek words, meaning through or reaching across. And it had the intent there that God deliberately gifted each one of us to be able to reach out across from where we are in order that he could impact the world. The endowments given by us are sovereignly given, and they're given so that you and I, the people of God, the people who bear his name, the people who carry his presence, the people who reveal his light, could reach out literally from where we are into somebody else's darkness. And believe me, if people are lost, they are in a dark, dark place. And that God literally could come into their darkness because of the gift, the various gifts that are on our lives, your life and my life. When properly exercised, we said that the spiritual gifts contribute to the overall health and growth of the church. So an overall healthy and growing church should have the operation of God's Holy Spirit gifting in the lives of the people being outworked. People come in here and say how healthy and loving and wonderful this church is. It's not because of Jeff and I. It's not because of the leadership. It's not even because of those who carry weight here. It's because the Spirit of grace has found a home in the people of God. And the people of God in this house give that honor. And say, then, Lord, here I am. Shine through me. Let your light shine through me. Let your love shine through me. So every compliment that Jeff and I have ever gotten from visiting ministry, and can I tell you, we get them all the time when people come through this place. They have only wonderful things to say about this house and about this congregation. All the glory goes to God because it's the healthy working of his gifts in his people here that is causing that to happen. The gifts of the Spirit, we said, are for the building up and the edification of the body of Christ. My gifts are not for me. Your gifts are not for you. The gifts that we carry are specifically for the body of Christ, not for the benefit of the individual, though they often do benefit us. But that's not why God gave them to us. He didn't give me a gift so I could sit around with other people and polish off my gift and say, what a look at my gift and worship my gift. What a wonderful gift I've got. He gave it to me that I would use it for the building up and edification of the church, and that's why he gave it to you. We said that we get the gifts when we're reborn by God's Holy Spirit. He doesn't wait till we're spiritually mature. You know, mature fruit on the tree is the fruit that's ready to splop onto the ground because it's rotten. I don't ever want to be that sort of mature. Yeah? He doesn't wait till we're spiritually mature enough to handle it. I marvel at God's mercy to trust Jeff and I when we were wet behind the ears. And, you know, some of you are here from the first days that we were here. How you must have suffered under our stupid ignorance. We had a lot of zeal and not much else. But the kindness and mercy of God made you forbear. And the kindness of mercy of God made us unaware of just how silly we were at times.
I can remember the evening where we got welcomed and, what is it, inaugurated. Is that the word for it? And different people had spoken, and our friend Peter Adams spoke, and then it was our turn. He said, come on, you know, come up and say something, profound and wonderful that would touch people's lives. And well, my profound words for that night were, thank you, everyone. Thank you for coming along tonight. It's really good that you've come along tonight. That was the end of it. It was something.
I love it. The mercy of God, eh?
Mercy.
That causes us just, you know, God is looking for available people who'll surrender the gift that is on their life and say, Lord, where, mm-hmm. where and how can you use me? God chooses who he uses and how he uses us. That different gifts, that charisma, that's an undeserved favor. It's a gift of grace. It's a grace endowment given to edify the church. And we taught, if you are gifted, it's because God has spiritually endowed you that way. Not because you deserve it. Not because you're mature enough. A deliberate act of God who without regret chose to deposit that gift in you has said, I need you to have that gift because I need you to build my church up in a specific way.
And the weird thing about that is that it's very often God gives his gifts out and it doesn't make sense to us who either receive the gift or those who observe the gifting that God decides to impart on people's lives. And to us, sometimes that can be just like, him? Her? Surely not. You really know what you're doing? Because it makes no sense whatsoever to our way of thinking. But then if we remember that he is sovereign God, he knows best, we rest in that reality.
We talked about the fact that there were different services, and that word meant like a waiter waiting at a table. It meant administration. The gift of serving, the different types of services that are upon us, should be outworked in humility and with a willing attitude and empowered by Holy Spirit, and we do it in faith. That's how we operate this gift. God gives it to us. Holy Spirit leads us into that moment to take that opportunity. We work upon our character and we offer it humbly. God gets the glory. Job done. We talked about that you need God's energy, that the different workings of the gifts that God gives, actually that means that it's a working, an effect, an operation, the result of God's energy. So even God gives the gift, God chooses it specifically for us. He makes a way for that gift. You don't have to come to Jeff and I and beg us to do something with a gift you think that is on your life. Listen, God opens the doors and God makes a way. And there is generally a pattern in service. The quickest way to actually get operating in your own gift and your own vision is to serve someone else's.
That's right.
It's just a door opener in the kingdom. That's why the gifts are services unto others, unto your local church, unto your local community.
And so picking up on that idea, it really comes to it down to it when you do a spiritual gifts assessment, you know, you'll see one in a little while, and it might identify you, and it might say on that, as you look through it, you might come to the end of it, and it might say that being a teacher is one of your spiritual gifts. That does not mean to say that you then come to Bo and I and go, it says here I'm a teacher. Now, next Bible study, it's clear that we run, it's clear to me that I need to be the one who is doing the teaching here. The reality is this is, and I'm not getting at anybody, so please, if you think I'm getting at anybody, I am not getting at anyone at all. I'm just with a broad brush on that, okay? Because gifts work out. If you know, if you say after doing this
assessment
that it says a teacher, well, you know what? The gift will work in the living of your life. See, well, I'll take Ian for instance. Ian has got a teaching gift on his life. There's no two ways about it. It's undeniable.
It is.
Ian does not need to stand up here behind the pulpit to express that teaching gift, because every time he opens his mouth, he teaches.
Yes.
Fact. He can't help himself.
It's a gift.
He just cannot help himself. It is a spiritual gift. Mm. God has taken the example of him being a skilled school teacher and transferred that as a spiritual gift and added on to it for the glory of God.
That word different workings is the word energema. And what we should take away from understanding that we have a different workings by the Holy Spirit and the gifts that we have, it should allow us to focus on God's ability in us. God's ability working mm-hmm. through us. God's yep. ability moving us. It is not me, Bo, having to dig out my gift, my communication gift, on a Sunday morning and polishing it up and going to communication school and working very hard at it and reading a dictionary so I can wow you with lots of fabulous polysyllabically pretentious words so that I can just actually...
She learned that from me.
I did. I don't have to do that. I have to stay in direct relationship with God in a right way. I have to stay right in relationships around me. So I tell you, something that upsets my communication gift terribly is if I get disconnected with Jeff or if I get disconnected with the people that I do life. I cannot stand in front of you and try to pretend or hurl up this gift, old manner, and try and hope that you don't see through it, because I have found this in the operation of the gift upon my life. I need to keep sweet with the Lord and I need to keep sweet with people around me. Otherwise, it just upsets for me the flow of my gift.
Hey, things must be good between us at the moment then, because you're up here doing something. Hey, how come you haven't been up here for a while then?
I leave it to you, Sherlock.
Sherlock.
Now you know, don't you? Spiritual gifts produce unity through diversity, and mm-hmm. that's one of my favourite things. We're meant to be different. Hello, look around us. We're not cookie cutter. God loves diversity. Nobody's ugly before God. Nobody's ungifted before God. No. We're all different by design.
That's right. Every one of us.
Yeah, and I love that. And that diversity can work for us, because what I can't see, you can. And please see it. And please offer it humbly. What I can't do, you can. And together we can get the job done. We can fulfill the destiny and call that has been upon this church from its inception. Let me just clear up something. We have been very connected. I just, you know, it just hasn't worked out with my preaching schedule. I take the first of the month. I gave mine up to Jürgen. Different people visit, so I don't want you thinking that we've had a year of disconnection. I was just being cheeky.
That's not what you said the other day. No, she didn't, okay? Didn't at all.
We said that the gifts are to build the church. Why are we hammering on what we've said? Because soon you're going to be discovering gifts. So in order for us, if you like, to limit the damage of what you're going to discover, we're just going to give this great big caveat out there so that we're not, you know, swamped for the next up till Christmas when private counselling and consultation with people who are overwhelmed by the glory of their gift and want it to shine in the church, all right?
See, the gifts that God gives out to us, they are tools. They are not toys to be played with.
Thank you, Anthea, for that.
Yeah, that is outstanding. They are tools. They are tools to bring the glory of God into people's lives, not for us to use as toys to play with. So it's a little bit like this. Little Freddy loves, when I'm working outside, he wants to grab hold of my cordless drill, he wants to grab hold of a saw, he wants to grab hold of a proper hammer, and he wants to do things with it. But he's not big enough to handle a real tool, so I give him toys to do it with. It's a different whole, and that flips across when it comes to us. He can then play with the toys until he's old enough to use the proper tools to what they're intended to do. God's gifts are our tools for kingdom purposes, for expanding, to bring glory to him on this earth, to make him famous, if we want to use those sort of words again, but actually things that actually bring about the kingdom of God in here down on earth.
And then Haley said something that was branded into my memory when I listened to her preach, because we were away when she preached, and she said, if the icing assumes it is the whole cake, it presumes too much. And for me, that was just, I was just like, I don't think I could have heard it phrased better when you're talking about the spiritual gifts. Look, at best, we are a conduit. Work hard to keep the conduit unobstructed and to keep it open.
See, for whatever reason, God, he decided that the spiritual gift he would dish out to Bo and I would be a gift of leadership. The spiritual gift does not define perfection in the operation of that gift. It means it's a spiritual gift that you then operate in as a leader. So it's God's decision, whomever, whatever he gives out to whomever, whenever.
And it has actually taken us decades of working in tandem to stop playing the game of you show me yours and I'll show you mine. And my leadership gift is better than your leadership gift. Do you know, I'm ashamed to tell you, I used to write Jeff sermons for him. He'd have me type up his sermons and I'd think, that doesn't sound any good. Scrub it out of his notes and just write in what I put. And I'd hand him back the notes and he'd go, what are these? I'm like, look, hon, good effort. Good effort. Can't fault you there. I'm giving you top marks. But content, mate, really? And we would go at it.
Those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Just as well you went flies on the wall then. My goodness.
He'd go, give me back my scribbly notes. Get rid of these. Give me back my scribbly notes.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. I'd get my notes and get ready to preach and go, what? I didn't even say that. I didn't even write that down.
I'm in at the front going, just read it. As it's written. Why are you ad-libbing on my perfect paragraphs? Terrible.
I don't believe that was a spiritual gift in operation.
I don't. See, what I'm saying is it takes time to hone it. First of all, you have to identify it. You have to honour it. You have to develop it. You have to use it in tandem and in relationship with Holy Spirit. And then God throws a spanner in your works and puts you together with other spiritually gifted people that, frankly, are challenging. And you have to find a way to work out your spiritual gift while building up the body of Christ and just thinking, if it's not premeditated, how many years will I get for that? I know, none of you ever think like that, do you?
We need to watch our time, okay, because it's 10 past and we've got this is out.
Cool, okay. Our gifts are to complement, not compete with each other. Do you know what? I'm so proud when I see Jeff operating in his gift. I kind of get under the shadow of that and I just think, yeah, that's my hubby. That's my hubby soaring. When I see any of you in your flow, I just think, that's one of our sheep doing that. That's one of our house. That's one of our family doing that. So very, very proud. We're meant to complement one another with our gifting, not compete.
So we talked from Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about where it's mentioned. Various gifts are mentioned throughout the scriptures. And those lists that we find are not the complete totality of the spiritual gifts that God gives out and enables us to operate in at various times. See, it is We need to be people who recognize that we have to be Holy Spirit led in the operation of our gifts. Therefore, to be Holy Spirit led in the operation of our gifts, we must operate out of the fact that it's a spiritual gift. Therefore, we have to be spiritually connected. I talked last Sunday about the difference between our talents, our abilities, what we can do, what we've been trained to do through years of training, or that which we have been born into, what we do inherit some abilities and giftings through our lives, and how different they are to that which then God breathes upon us with spiritual gifting. And sometimes talents God can breathe on and become a spiritual gift. And I use the example of the pediatric consultant on last Saturday night that we saw, a believer who took her training and God clearly breathed upon it, because she said, I do this, I pray for every one of these patients that I have in here. Turned it into something that was for the glory of God. So therefore, if it's something that's a spiritual gift, we need to ensure that we are listening to Holy Spirit. And the way we listen to Holy Spirit is that we spend time in prayer, time reading the Word, and time worshiping God in our own spare time. That's how we get more attuned to that which Holy Spirit is saying. Because to be spiritually led means to be, we need to be spiritually connected to whom we need to be led by.
Yeah. Bob Deffenbaugh, he said this, a spiritual gift is the God-given capacity of every Christian to carry out his function in the body of Christ. This is why we wanted to bring a series about spiritual gifts. Because we want people to live with intentionality, live on purpose, to fulfill the destiny that is upon you as an individual. We want people to be Holy Spirit led in the operation of their gifts. Just because you can do a thing does not mean to say that you should.
I actually do. Yes, start giving them
that. We want people to be accountable in their spirit to someone in authority, especially if they have an oral gift. During the Second World War, they said, loose lips sink ships. And can I tell you that with the oral gifts of Holy Spirit, prophecy, word of knowledge, revelation, discernment, these things, if they're not right on, they can sink, they can scupper people. So if you've got an oral gift of prophecy or teaching on your life, or then you need to definitely be accountable to somebody else who has actually got the authority to say over you, hey, that was off.
And can I just jump in there? Cheryl and Graham are giving out an assessment test that you can use. Please don't start reading it and doing it yet. I would like to explain things and we'll go through things. So this is not for you. We're not giving it out now for you to give. Not giving out now for you to start doing it this morning. And getting on with it is something for you to take away, because you need time. You need to actually, first of all, pray and ask Holy Spirit to lead you right. And then you need to take time answering it. Really, if you do it in 5 minutes, you haven't done it properly. You just simply haven't done it properly.
So we want you to discover your gift so that we can help you find your fit. Does that mean that the church is going to make room for every gift in here? The answer is no. Now, if you're shocked by that, it could be because you're not understood the fact that your gift does need to build up the body of Christ, but the body of Christ is bigger than Lee Valley Church, okay? So the gift is for the edification and building up of the body of Christ, not just your local community. So the gift that is on you may have a broader application. Mm-hmm. It will certainly have an application amongst other Christians who are part of the body that you mix with. Now, if everybody in here had a gift of encouragement, I would say there's a place for a gift of encouragement. Every person in the church could have that gift.
But if everybody did the test and came up with a gift of teaching or preaching or the prophetic, that's not going to be possible to be outworked in local church. So therefore it has a greater expanse to it of kingdom purposes. That's where we're coming from.
So it's not for the church to fit itself to your gift or my gift. It is for me and you to fit your gift to the vision of the church, to the vision of the house. And in locating your spiritual gift, this is really important. You can never operate in a gift in the house if you don't agree with the vision of it. Because your spiritual gifting is needed to build up the vision of the local house, if that's what it is, where God has placed you. So that gift is going to be complementary to that.
Yep, cool. So let's a few things I want to say, and then let's start looking at what you've got in front of you. So what happens if you do this assessment and you come up with, you come through the end of it and it identifies a number, I think it's three primary gifts. And what about it? You do it and you go, I don't want to have that gift. That is not what I want. I want that one. I want that one there. You know, maybe you do it and go, and you've got the great desire to be the next, you know, superstar televangelist. God help you. And God actually says your gifting is one of helps, of actually being somebody that just being a helper, not just. Goodness sake, oh, you actually said that. There's no such thing as a just. Yeah, that was a slip of the tongue. That was a wrong slip of the tongue, because every gift is equal and it's an important. So what do you do if you don't like it? Well, sorry, you've got to suck it up. Really? Because it's God. It's God's choosing what he wants to use us for. Wish you were something else. Maybe he goes, okay, your gifting on your life is to be such and such. And you go, I want to be something else. Same sort of example.
And when Jeff and I did one of these, we discovered that I am a truth person and he is a mercy person. Can you imagine those gifts in the same relationship?
Quite tricky at times. But like everything, the more mature you come in it, you understand how to operate in it way better. Okay, so let's grab hold of your form. That's what we're going to do. We're going to run this through, then you're going to dab this in, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to finish
Yeah. So if you start off with the very front of it, hopefully you can see it in the light that we've got. It's a very simple. You have got 118 questions, 138 questions that you will look at. You will give a response to those answers based on a number, 3, 2, 1, 0. Very self-explanatory if you read it properly, spend some time reading it properly. So you might, if it asks you a question and you go, oh yes, that is me, I consistently, that is how I operate, you write down a 3. So question number 1, you write down. So the best thing I would say is you actually take that front cover off and you take it off. You rip it off when you get home, you take it off. That sits on one side of your page, sits on one side of you, so you're like this. Here is your questionnaire here, and you start going through it. So question 1, you put in your answer based on 3, 2, 1, 0 in the box for number 1 on the front page, yeah? Do we see that? It's quite clear, isn't it? Then once you've worked all your way through that, all the way through to number 133... What are we saying, 138, 118, 133? The reason why, because there are various spiritual gift assessment tests or forms. There's a multitude of them out there. We chose this one. This is used by Willow Creek, and it's seen years of good use. Once you've worked all your way through all those questions, then vertically down, add up your numbers and enter them along the bottom. And then that will correspond, and it really just makes sense. The highest totals, whatever those 3 are, the highest total, you write them down. And then you will see from A, B, C, D, A through to S, your spiritual gift assessment key is underneath, and that will help you identify what some of the spiritual gifts on your life are.
Can I just say, it's not a test, so there's no right, there's no wrong. And can I also say, this is the reason why Jeff said pray, because you need to be honest. It's about where you are, it's about who you are, right? So not about where you want to be or who you want to be. Sometimes I've done them and I think, oh no, this is true, I don't want it to be true, but it's true. It's true. Do I prize truth over mercy? Yes, I do. I do, and I can't fudge that, and I can't get away from that. That's what God has put on me. That's who I am. So that's really, really important.
Right. Just relax. It's only a chair that fell over.
Do you want to put down and be honest? Pray first. Holy Spirit, help me see myself. What is actually right? Don't overthink it or overanalyze it.
Yep. And so work your way through it. It's very self-explanatory. If you start at the top and just simply read your way through the first page, take time to do it. And you know what? If you don't do it, that's cool also. That's, you know, it's not, you're not going to go to hell because you haven't done it. No thing like that, okay? This is just a help. This is just a help to be to for you to help understand what may be on your life that God is giving you on your life. And then it might cause you to go, ah, okay, that is why I do that. That is why I do. That's why I want to do that. That's why I find myself in those situations, why I do that.
And it may help you too if you have felt continually frustrated in the role that you do in your employment. It may be because you understand that you've got a, when you do this, that you've got a very strong compassion and mercy gift on your life and you're being an accountant. It may be because you realize that actually you felt like a square peg in a round hole because you are. And it might become a prayer project for you to think, Father, put me, please, where I am, what I am, what is my shape, and where does that shape belong? Because it has a place. Do you know a Christian's motivational gift represent what God does in him? And I'm just going to close on this. You're going to discover what will move you to use your gift. When you understand the area of your giftedness, you can understand more accurately what that might look like when it's being worked out. So you need to understand the motive behind your gift. What will move you to get going in your gift? You also need to understand what your ministry gift represents, because your ministry gift is what God wants to do with you. So then you need to be able to ask yourself a question, how will my gift serve others and build the body of Christ? You need to know what your gift is so you understand what will motivate you to use it. You need to understand what your gift is so you can see, where can I use that? And then you need to understand the manifestation of your spiritual gift in any situation, because that represents what God wants to do through you. This is the question here. How will God be glorified or seen through my gift?
And that's the most important thing that should come to us all as a result of doing this. How can I, my life, glorify God more and more through recognizing spiritual gift that is on my life, or spiritual gifts? Remember, it's not a gift, it is gifts, multiple.
We want to give opportunity for some ministry in the closing moments. Maybe as we've been teaching spiritual gifts, God's put his finger on misuse of gift in your life. Have you been wanting your gift to promote you rather than build up the body of Christ? Repentance for pride. Need to come and offer, sanctify, consecrate that gift before God and say, Lord, please, it's your gift. You gave it to me and I want it to do the job that you gave it to me for. Have you been afraid of your gift? Have you been so fearful of your gift that you've been disobedient to use it when the opportunity has come? You need to repent. We need to repent. Fear has kept God's people down for so long and it irritates me. It irritates me that deception could make people shrink back from the gift that is on their life, because God wants to be seen, and he wants to be seen through us, his kids. Have you been indifferent to the gift on your life? Have you been distracted by other things and you think that gift will always be there? I can come back to that. Opportunities are being missed while people are indifferent to the gift that is on their life. Have you been jealous of other people's gifts? Look, it's time to settle it once and for all. Your gifts are yours and my gifts are mine, and all of them are meant to build the body of Christ, and all of them have the opportunity for God to be glorified through them.
And this is a reality. People in the world miss out. They miss out on the glory of God expressed through you and I when we choose not to allow the gift that God has, for whatever reason, put upon our life to then be expressed by us, from us understanding that we need to express that in our lives.
Do you need Holy Spirit to fill you, to freshly anoint you, to open your eyes, to give you clarity to your gift? Okay, have you been forcing your gift? All of these things, we preach this whole series because we want you to find your fit. We want the body of Christ to be pushed forward, not just here. We want your sphere of influence to be lit with the glory of God. We want you to be singing in your sweet spot and soaring all the way through your life because you know that you have found your shape and you are being used in that right place. Mm. We want God to be seen through each one of us. We want this great, glorious light of who God is in the midst and the power, that endowment of spiritual power, God's energy, God's power flowing in God's people, that God would be glorified and we would be built up and edified.
Did you mention about frustration as a believer of where you are? Did you talk about that at all? Maybe you're at a place of real frustration as a believer, of feeling unsatisfied and at a place of frustration in your Christian walk and disappointment even of where am I, what am I doing? And I will suggest this to you, perhaps it's because of not realizing or not knowing actually what God has placed upon your life as an individual that you are allowing to be outworked. There is nothing worse than being gifted to do something and you do not allow yourself an expression of what is on your life. I recognized years ago that actually, you know what, my greatest place of satisfaction outside of knowing God, etc., is actually living in the place of doing what I am intended to do by God. Otherwise, you live in total frustration. What's the flipping point of this? I might as well just walk away from this whole deal of being a Christian. But when you understand what God has placed on our lives by doing something simple as a spiritual assessment, a spiritual gift assessment, we can go, this is what I'm actually made for. Now I need to make sure my life walks along that pathway to line up with what God has placed on my life to do. And maybe all that needs to happen is the lightness needs to go on, eyes to be open, and then some intentional work in that area, in those areas, to operate in those things, to allow them to come out of our lives. So let's get on with this.
So as we stand up,
please.
If any of those things touched your life, the band is going to play, and I'm not going to draw it out. You know who you are. You know if anything has been touched by Holy Spirit this morning. You know what your response needs to be. Just do it. Just do it. Stop staying around making excuses for not being the gifted person that God has called you to be. Honestly, our gift is what sets us apart, and it's what shows God's glory to the world. I don't want to be hiding my gift. I don't want to be hiding my light. I need to gloriously be who God has created me to be, and so do you, because it gives Him glory.